So today, I thought of this people of God here today, at this time in the vineyard. The Lord spoke three words for you, that he wants you, and I'm including myself in this, he wants us to be a people of stability. He wants us to be a people of increase, and he wants us to be a steadfast people. So he wants us to be stable, not only to be stable, but to increase. And he wants us to be a steadfast people. So I went to my dictionary again, and what does the word steadfast mean? It means firmly fixed in place. Firmly fixed in place. Not subject to change. Firm in belief or determination. Loyal, unwavering. He wants us to be an unwavering people, not subject to change, firm in belief, firmly fixed in place, loyal, unwavering. He wants us to be those kind of people. And I believe that we are becoming that. And yes, maybe you've already become it, so you don't have to listen, but I'm still becoming that. And so I thought of some scriptures that could help us in this area. James? Jessica? So we haven't rehearsed this. It's on the fly. Okay, so you can stand there. Okay, I just had a vision of, maybe this isn't you, so if it's not you, praise God, but if it is you, you're going to be strengthened today. I had a vision of the enemy is coming at somebody's mind or somebody's soul, which is their mind, will, and emotions, and he's doing this to them. Not fall down, but let it go down. He's doing this. He's punching them. Now, Jesus is picking them up again, but then he's doing this. The devil's going like this again. Now, Jesus is picking that person or people up again, but God wants us to be people that when the enemy comes to hit us, because remember, we're in him. I'm Jesus now. Remember, we're in him. He was Jesus over us up, but now I'm Jesus, so when the enemy comes at us to give us a blow, we don't fall down. We'll move on. Yeah, see, the enemy's giving us blows to our soul. Be careful now, it's your girlfriend. We don't want her bruised from this. So when the enemy comes to give us, we what? Move out of the way. We get behind me, Satan. We stand firm. Because, you see, if we're always being blown down by everything, we can't stand as firm. How can the Lord increase through us and go forward if all he's doing is just picking us up continually? You see, he wants to pick us up. Don't get me wrong. He will continue to pick us up. But then he wants us to be stable because we're in him and he's in us, and he wants us to advance forward. You see, but if we're always in a position, thank you, if we're always in a position of having to be picked up continually, it's harder for us to move forward. God wants us stable, but also increasing. He wants us steadfast, not wavering every time something happens, but going on the offense, knowing who our God is. You see? But lots of us have, and the enemy's good at this, don't get me wrong. He's good. He knows what bothers us. And he knows how to get us. But God knows how to get us too. God knows how to bring us over and above these things that are happening. But God, the devil has come at us, yes. Everybody's got something. Come on now. Can we get real? We've all cried a few tears. We've all wondered. We've all been in unbelief. We've all questioned. But we're still here. We're still here, but God wants us stable, steadfast, increasing. He wants us to be those overcomers he says we can be. And God is not a man that he lies. And so I thought of in a book, Ephesians, we're going to stay in Ephesians today. There was three prayers in Ephesians that Paul prayed for the church. Now, maybe these are familiar to you. They were familiar to me, but like I've said every time I preached, it doesn't matter how much I know the Bible, I can always know something more. That's the great thing about it. When I read a scripture, maybe I've read 1,000 times, if I ask the Holy Spirit to expound on it, even if I know nothing more, it's still exciting because it's the Word of God. And I find the Word of God to be very, very exciting. I love it. When I read it, I just love the Word of God. When I read it, I always feel encouraged. I don't ever feel put down. I always feel uplifted, and I close the book feeling better than when before I opened it. He's always ready and available through His Word, through His Spirit, to speak to us. He's never too cool for us. He's never too busy for us. He is always available. Okay, so Ephesians, there are three powerful prayers for the church that Paul prayed. And all through Ephesians, Paul draws our attention to the unseen world. And he calls it the heavenly realm. I love that. The heavenly realm. Okay, now the first prayer is in Ephesians 1, but I'm going to start at the very end, and I'm going to go back. Just because when I was reading these prayers he prayed, I thought you can never stand unless you first have that. Everybody concentrates, and I myself do, on standing. But be able to stand, we also have to know. So I just want to do the first prayer last, the last prayer first and the first prayer last, just because I want to do it that way. Okay, but we are going to start first to set it up in Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Praise be to the God." Am I too loud? No, okay. I get excited sometimes. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." He doesn't base holiness on choosing, but as he chooses us, we become more like him, and therefore we become holy. And the things that he loves, we love, and the things that he hates, we hate. We begin to think more like him. What's going on up there? Oh, it's the scripture. Okay. Ooh, this is really becoming new tech here at the Vineyard. Okay, as believers, we're Christians who have already been beneficiaries of every spiritual blessings that comes from the heavenly realm. Every spiritual blessing that comes from the heavenly realm, we can partake of. Not only can we partake of it, but it's our inheritance. It's our right. The devil's always trying to take away our rights. The world is always trying to shove their rights in our face, but the devil's trying to take our rights away from us. But we have rights as Christians, and we have a right to know what they are. We have a right to receive them, we have the right to partake of them, and we have a right to make them known. Okay, so we have every spiritual blessing that comes from the heavenly realm. As Jesus is in the world, so are we. Whew. But if we're always wanting to be picked up by him, and he will always pick us up and make us strong, we won't be as effective as if we're standing in him. You see, his hands are our hands on earth. His mind is our mind. When we move forward, he moves forward. The kingdom advances through us. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 6. Again, a popular scripture, but this is the last prayer of the three prayers that he prayed for in Ephesians for the Ephesians people. And I thought to myself, if Paul is praying for this church in Ephesus, these prayers, I'd be wise to pray them. I mean, I've prayed for quite a few years off and on Ephesians 1:17, because every great man of God that I've read about said he prayed that for himself. And I thought, well, if it worked for them, it can work for me. That's another thing I love about God. He is an equal opportunist. Whoever comes to him, he does not reject. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, so Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our battle is not against flesh and blood. Woo, we got to remember that, don't we? But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So he begins by telling us he's given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, but yet he's saying there's some darkness in those heavenly realms too. Now, you don't have to flip back, but I'm going to flip back to Ephesians 1:3 again, where it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And halfway through 19, after that prayer, I'm going to go back to this prayer, but at the very end of it, he's talking about the power of God, and that power of God is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So what's going on here? There is, in the invisible world, there is wars going on. But now he's telling us, as people of God, we have been given power and authority, and when we take authority over things we can't see, or we can see coming against us, there's going to be change that we can see. One thing I do know in my walk with the Lord is that one of the tactics of the enemy is to take my mind off of the heavenly realms and put it in the natural with problems. He wants to keep your eyes on your problems. He wants to keep your lives on yourself. He wants you to keep your eyes even on good things. As long as he can get your eyes off the spiritual realm, he's happy. If he can't do it with problems, if he can't do it with bad things, he'll do it with good things. He'll do it with desires that seem good, but they're not of God. He wants to take our minds out of the heavenly realms, but it clearly says we have authority in the heavenly realms because of Jesus. And so our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Hold on here. I got authority over it, but why is it still happening? God wants us to be a praying people. He has given us victory. He has given us freedom. He has given us every spiritual blessing. But somehow, he still wants us to go after it. We have an inheritance, but he still wants us to aggressively grab it. Why is it all just not given to us and given easy? I don't know. But I know that we have to receive it. I take it, I receive it, because why? Jesus, you're giving it. You know, I recently watched this guy on TV, and I thought it was really good. And he was saying how we have to get so close to Jesus. We got to reach up. We got to take him. And he said, why? Because we can. Why do I want to be so close to Jesus? Why do I want to seek him? Why do I want the rewards from him? Why? Because he says, I can take it. It's mine. Okay, we are not to be distracted or deterred by wrestling with human adversaries instead of praying against the invisible works of hell. There's invisible works of hell that come against our walk with God, and we're to pray in that area, but not set our mind on it. See, our mind is reserved for God and his ways, but the enemy always wants to take our mind and put it in the natural realm. So our five senses rule, but we're ruled by our spirit because we're sons and daughters of God. Those that are sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. But the enemy wants to take us to a place where it's five senses we're ruled by. We're not ruled by our five senses. We're ruled by the Spirit of God. We have heavenly hearing. We have a heavenly mind. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places, looking down. You know what I think that this takes more than anything is diligent of reading the word and praying. You become more heavenly minded the more you read the Bible. You become more heavenly minded the more you pray. You're not satisfied with what you see. You want more. You want to advance his kingdom. You want yourself to become more like Jesus. But it takes a diligent nature. It takes a steadfast people. It takes a people that want to increase. You know, you really change when you become sick of something. You've just had it. I can't take this anymore. I've just had it. There has to be something more because you said there is Jesus. There has to be something different because you said there was. And if I don't change my circumstances, I change myself. Because you know who's in charge of my limitless freedom? God, not man. Like I said one time when I first preached here, God is not a man, so man cannot limit you. My walk is not limited by people. My walk is unlimited by Jesus. He has the limitless spirit. He is the one that gifts us. He is the one that talks to us. He is the one that gives revelation. Yes, I appreciate teaching. I appreciate good sermons. I appreciate people praying for me. But ultimately, it's God who brings the freedom when I choose I want him above all else. You know, one thing I do know about the Lord, that he is jealous for his people. He wants us more than we want him. And we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. You see, he first loved us. That's why we love him. People are not our real enemy. Okay, let's continue on now. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Now, the New King James says, when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to withstand. I kind of like that better. So withstand means bravely resisting, vigorously opposing, standing face to face against your adversary. I mean, I still remember that story. When I heard about Smith Wiggle, I read it. You know, he woke up one night, and at the end of the bed was the devil. He woke up and he goes, oh, it's just you, and went back to sleep. He was face to face with his adversary. But he went back to sleep because he probably thought, devil, you're not robbing my sleep. He was comfortable knowing his authority in Jesus. And I get a kick out of Smith Wigglesworth because when he was alive, he was not popular. Now we all love him. Woo! I do. I think, and you hear people talk about him, his great power. He moved in anointing. He was not popular when he was alive. People didn't like him. There were some that liked him. Of course, he had a big ministry. But he also had a lot of adversaries that would come against him. When you want to go someplace different, not everybody will clap for you. I see you're really seeking the Lord. Can I stroke your back? No, not everybody will do that. But you continue on and you don't judge them, but you continue on. Hey, you can go where you want to go, but I'm going where I want to go too. See, the great thing about God is you go as far as you want to go. You have as much God as you want to have. Okay, so withstand, bravely resisting, vigorously opposing, standing face to face against your adversary, standing your ground. Now, in this, it's saying a lot about standing. It's not saying that the enemy's coming around knocking you down. It's saying standing. So that's not standing, people of God. That's being taken out. And then you need prayer, you need stroking, you need helping, you need everything to get you back up again. Now, God's not opposed to helping his people. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sound like hard. God has lifted me up many times and is still lifting me up. People have come around and prayed for me and I'd appreciated it. But there is a time where you have to stand with the Lord and not be like that because he wants to advance through you. And if he's always helping you, he can't advance through you as effective as he wants to. Amen? Okay, because we are what? A steadfast people, a stable people, full of stability, wanting to increase. Okay, Now, after you've done everything to stand, he says again, stand. There's a lot of standing. There's not a lot of falling. There's not a lot of being tripped up. There's a lot of standing. Okay? Stand firm. So don't even stand, but stand firm. He's asking for something a little bit more than just standing. He's asking for stability in that standing. Stand firm. Stand. Stand firm then with what? The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Okay, so I just wrote a couple of things down about this as we go through. The belt of truth. Okay, this is just Karen's version. Okay, the belt of truth. Who am I? Who is he? What has God said to me? And what has he said about me? And what has he said about himself? To me, that's truth. What has God said to me? That's true. What has God said about me I can do? That's true. What has God said about himself? That's truth. See, Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. What has he said about himself? You don't have to question that. That's truth. What has he said to us? Through prophecies, through his word, through his spirit, whispering in our ear, hollering at us through our minds not to do something. That's truth. That's what he's telling us. Who is he in me? That's truth. I got to have that around me. I got to have that buckled around me, that truth. You know, one time I was getting confused and I said, oh, God, just tell me the truth. I'm so tired of trying to figure things out. I want to know the truth. The Bible says if we know the truth will set us free. Jesus is the truth. We don't have to question that. There's no unbelief in the truth. It's just the truth. Okay? The truth. Who am I? Who is he? What has God said to me? And what has he said about me? And what has he said about himself? That's the truth we have around us. That's my version of it. That's the way I think about it. I got to stand firm in that truth. I stand firm in the truth of who he is. He's not a God. He's not a man that he would lie. He's true. What he said is true. What I hear is true. If it lines up with the scriptures, it's true. Okay, what else does he say? With the breastplate of righteousness in place, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God himself's put on righteousness when he brings forth justice. And then I looked at Isaiah 59. I'm just going to go there for a second. I thought this was kind of cool because it talks about Isaiah 59, verse 15. Truth is nowhere to be found, and everyone who shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him, and his own righteousness sustained him. Listen to this. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wraps himself in zeal as in a cloak. When he goes to bring forth justice, he put on righteousness. That's symbolic. God is righteous. But, you know, he himself symbolically put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we're to have that too. Because that's one thing where the enemy attacks is our righteousness. Who are we in Christ? He did it to Jesus. You think you're above that? No, he attacks who we are in the very inner being of our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Who are we? And, you know, somehow the devil knows who knows that and who doesn't. You know, you're only deceived when you know a lie. But if you know the truth, it sets you free, doesn't it, people of God? You once believed something about yourself, and then all of a sudden you think, whew, hold on here. What an idiot I was. That's not the truth. That's a lie. Woohoo, you've been found out. Because I know the truth, it set me free from believing that way. The breastplate of righteousness, the truth buckled around our waist. Who God says I am, but really who he is. It's more than me, it's him. Okay. Now, what else do we have? We've got the shield of faith. So we stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Wow, our feet are ready with the gospel of peace. You know, one time the Lord said to me, I was confused which way to take. And he says, when there's no peace, it's not my will. Where there is no peace, it's not my will. So I thought to myself, well, I've never really even known what peace is, so I'm going to have a hard time figuring it out. So Lord, just come through that and just tell me. And you know he does. You do have a, as you begin to grow with the Lord, I find I do know more of his peace. I do know that peaceful feeling when it's right and when it's wrong. Sometimes it's so slight that if I'm not in tune and I'm not alert, I almost miss it. But he does lead us by his peace. He is peace. He is peace. And we're ready with that gospel of peace. You know, the gospel is good news. You know, even when the Lord corrects me, it's good because I'll become more free when I'm corrected. He corrects us. He corrects us. Don't get me wrong. When you walk with the Lord, he will correct you. And sometimes it's like, I don't know if I really believe that. But then as I seek him, I think, you know what? I don't know if I believe it or not, but Lord, I know that if you're telling me this, it's for my benefit. It's for my freedom. Because he always has the best in mind for me. Remember, he's never too busy for us. He's never too cool for us. He's always available. Okay. Now please, with, and it comes from the gospel of peace. Did I forget something? No. Okay. In addition, so after we've done all that, there's some more. Addition means plus. Okay, there's something else. Okay, you've stand. Okay, you're finding out who you are, who he is, what he has said to you. You know that your position in him can't be taken away. You know that you're moving forward with the peace and the gospel, which is good news, meaning you're going forward. But in addition, plus, yes, adding what? The shield of faith. I would say as a body of Christ talking to people in the body of Christ, I would say we're at a time where we need to really believe in the shield of faith. Yes, we need that all, but plus we need the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Okay, I wrote this down. The shield of faith at this time in this era describes a large Roman shield covered with leather, which could be soaked in water and used to put out flaming arrows. The New King James says the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts. You know, what was it that was just, James, you just posted that, what Joyce Meyer said about a thought. Do you remember that? Okay, well, I'm coming over here, people of God. Okay, say it.
I think she said, a thought isn't your thought until you begin to meditate on it.
That's right. A thought is not your thought till you begin to meditate on it. We sometimes feel we can't control what comes in our mind, but we can. We can. We can choose to meditate on a bad thought. I'll tell you something about bad thoughts. Sometimes you get in a pattern of thinking them, and sometimes they almost comfort you. Sometimes you almost delight in the bad thought. But if it's against God's word, we're not to meditate on that, because he doesn't say meditate on bad thoughts. He says meditate on the word. And I was reading somewhere about that word meditate a little while ago, and it actually means to softly say something over and over again. You know, you can look it up for yourself, and if I'm wrong, tell me the next time I'm here. But that's what I read about that word, meditate. To softly say something over and over again, not just think it, but to say it out softly over and over again. What did he say to Joshua? Be strong and courageous, do not fear, and meditate on the word day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. That takes a diligent training, because these fiery darts come at you, but no, by faith, Because what? We're to fight the good fight of faith. That's really our fight. To fight to believe that what God said is true is true, and what he says we can become, we can become. Why? So he can increase his kingdom. You know, I got tired of getting whacked in a certain area, and I thought to myself, why am I getting so whacked? And then I thought to myself, I'm the only Christian. And then I thought, I got to get some of these people saved so they can think differently, because you can't think differently unless you're saved. You're stuck if you're not saved, people of God. But what's the great thing about God is I don't have to think a certain way. Doesn't matter how long I thought it. When I receive Christ, I have a new way I can think. So that way I can become everything who Jesus says I can become. But really, that's the battle in our mind to believe. So we got to put up the shield of faith. We got to stay in the presence, stay in the fire, stay connected to Jesus so we can think differently, so we can act differently. So that we're not always being thrown down. This thing was supposed to be filled with water on the bottom, but see, without Jesus, we can't even stand. So we're not always being knocked out. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little tired of feeling like I'm getting knocked out. Hey, if I'm on the winning team, why am I not winning? Have you ever thought that? And then I thought, because I don't care if I do it in my own strength, which I was trying to do, I thought, I'm tired of that too. So I got to take on Jesus's victory. I am on the winning team. I am victorious. And the more I think it, it doesn't matter that it doesn't mean that it will stop, but it won't affect me. You see? We sometimes don't change everything around us, but we change ourselves, and everything around us doesn't affect us. You know, we are going through, but the thing is, we're going through. You know, we're not stopping. We're not stopping at problems, we're going through them. We're not stopping at disadvantages, we're going through them. We're not stopping at the way we think if it's not right, we're going through it. We're going through it. We're increasing. That means we're going through. We're not stopping. Is this making sense, people of God? Okay, so the shield of faith, which we can extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then we take the helmet of salvation. Well, here Jesus says he talked about the helmet of salvation here in God talked about in Isaiah 59:17 because of Jesus. The helmet both protects us. Salvation protects you. Salvation protects you. Don't you want to go through life protected by salvation? If nothing else, you're protected by salvation, people of God. Be thankful for that, but don't stay there. Increase, increase, increase. A steadfast people I'm looking at. A people that are stable. A people that are increasing. Those are the words God gave me for you. And I want a bit of it too. Because I want to be a person of stability, a person of increase, a person not wavering, a person steadfast. Wouldn't that be great if everybody that talked about it said, what a steadfast person. They're not wavered. I've seen them go through this. I've seen them go through that. And they are unwavering. They keep praising. They keep talking about how good God is. Amen? Okay, the sword of the Spirit. So the helmet, it both protects the soldier, that's us, And then it said in the Bible, it's a striking symbol of military victory. Salvation is victory. You know, if you're saved, you're in victory. You know, it's only a matter of time before your mind catches up to what your spirit's already done. It's saved. Your mind, your soul, your will, your emotions have to catch up to who Jesus says you are. Because he doesn't give half a salvation. He doesn't save you and not renew your mind unless you don't want it. Unless you don't want it. Okay, so the sword of the Spirit. Okay, you take the helmet of salvation. Ooh, thank you for the victory of salvation, Lord. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Okay, the sword of the Spirit. The battle is spiritual. It's already been won, but now I got to tap into that victory. I got to tap into the victory that's already been won for me. I can't understand why it's not just downloaded freely, easily. It is, but I still have to receive it. Why doesn't this happen easily? God, why? Sometimes I ask him why and he doesn't answer. And then I go, why are you not answering? And then I go, oh, my soul thirsts for you, Lord. I praise you. I'm not giving up. You're not giving up. You're a steadfast people, unwavering in the things of God, increasing. You're a people of increase. You can't stay the same you were 20 years ago. We're not boring. I always think, you know, people say this and that about Christians. Well, be a Christian for about 10 years and try to increase. You ain't no small little scared cat. You are courageous. It doesn't take anything to backslide, but it takes something to go forward. If you're a backslider, it's easy. If you want to walk away, it's easy. But you want to go forward, you're bold. Because you're going to have to face things in the victory of Jesus. Okay. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What did Jesus do? We all know what he did when he was tempted, but somehow we forget when we're being tempted and we're being tested. He said, it's written. That's what he did. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And somehow we want to run away and get all kinds of other things instead of standing and saying, hold on, it's written. It says this because I'm that. God is going to do this because he said it. It's written. It's written. It's written. It's written. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. There's no bad prayer. I don't care. I've heard things about, oh, long prayers, short prayers. Hey, just pray. God will correct you if you're going on too long. If you see the people leave during prayer, you've prayed too long. If they're like, amen, 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 I've had enough. Then think next time. I might got to shorten that. But pray, 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 pray. I love praying in tongues the best. You know why? I don't got to think about what I'm praying. I just pray the perfect prayer. That's what I love. Hey, I don't know what to pray. So I'm just going to pray in tongues. And then the Bible says it strengthens me, and I'm praying the perfect prayer. Wow, win-win. And now I love this. With this in mind, be alert. Be alert. Wake up. You know, it says actually in Ephesians, in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 14, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Wake up, be alert, know what's going on in the spiritual realm. In the heavenly realm, you have victory. In the heavenly realm, you know things because of revelation, because of God's wisdom, because you meditate on his word day and night. In the heavenly realm, think about those things. I think if you're heavenly minded, you are earthly good. Because you know what to proclaim. You know how to act. You hear the voice of God. The worst thing I think that can happen to any of us is we don't hear. We have his word, but I also want to hear the word for the right time, the way to act in every situation. What is really going on here? This is what I see, but what is really happening? Connection, alignment. We want those things. To why? To move in the realm of the Spirit. And believe me, it's fun to move in the realm. It's fun when you hear. It's fun when something happens that you prayed for. It's fun to see it. It's fun when people get set free. It's fun to worship. It's fun to read the Word of God. It's fun to be in the church. It's fun to be a Christian. It's fun when you overcome. I laugh. Sometimes I overcome things and I laugh my head off. I laugh my head off when I find I've been deceived in a certain area. Wow. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. I laugh when no one's looking. I laugh when I'm by myself. Because God's so good. He's full of joy. He's full of joy. He's full of joy. You know, somebody said to me, as you're walking along with the Lord, always check your joy. You know you're connected when you got the joy. Because Jesus really was a man of joy. God is a joyful God. I can tell you that even when I've had the worst day, I can still laugh. Yeah, I've cried, and sometimes when I cried for hours, I laugh. God is a joyful God. Check your joy level. And if you don't have it, ask God to give it to you. Because he's a joyful God. Amen? So be alert. Be alert. It's like years ago when the Lord came to my bedroom, 5 a.m, audibly. Doo-doo-doo! I heard an audible trumpet. And the Lord's voice came through the audible trumpet. I'm not crazy. It happened. My people are asleep, and so are you. He didn't say, doo, doo, doo. My people are asleep, and you're great, Karen. He said, my people are asleep, and so are you. I've been asleep, but I got to wake up. And you know what? When you're asleep, you can't wake up anybody else. A sleeping person can't wake another sleeping person up till they become awake. When you're awake, you're like, get up. My kids can attest for that. When I wake up, sometimes I think, I've been awake for hours. They got to wake up. And I go in their bed, hey, time to wake up. I'm a early bird. So I like the morning. And they're not. But after a few hours, I wake them up. But if I was still sleeping, I couldn't wake them up. And you know what? When you're asleep, you don't even know it till you wake up. If I'm asleep, I don't know it till I wake up. And so I've been thinking to myself, and I heard this years ago. Doo-doo-doo! My people are asleep, and so are you. It became so clear. Oh, God, he's so good. I was asleep, and I didn't even know it. Oh, man, I got to wake up, and I'm an early bird. I get a kick out of the Lord. Pray, and then when it happened, I was in bed by myself. I was like, oh. And then I thought, did I just imagine that? Doo-doo-doo. Was that a trumpet? Was that a voice? I don't know. Woo. No, that was the Lord. It was scriptural. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given to me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Paul was not chained to sin. He was not chained to man. He was an ambassador. He was a man of wisdom. He was a man of power. And he thought it good to pray for the church, the armor of God. We're to be alert. I think that's the main thing that I'm asking myself to be now, is alert. Because you know what? Sometimes I just walk around and I don't know if I'm alert to what's really going on. Because sometimes the enemy wants to take my eyes and just continually focus it on the natural. Distraction, detours, other things that are happening. But no, we're to be alert. Alert. Wake up, Karen. Wake up, Karen. Clothe yourself with strength. Wake up, Vineyard. Clothe yourself with strength. We got to wake up. We got to wake up. Okay, so running out of time here, but I didn't know what time I started, actually. But this was the longest one. So now, the other prayer he prayed, and what does Paul say about the armor of God? Stand, and after everything you've done, stand. So we went through the things about it, but stand was the main focus. And how come you stand is all those things. We stand because of truth. We stand because of righteousness. We stand because of the word of God. We stand because we're saved. And after everything we do, we stand. Why? Because we're going to have to stand again. We stand, and then we stand. We're not being barreled over by everything. The other prayer he prayed, we're going back, Ephesians 3. Verse 14. Now, in Paul's day, people usually stood to pray. They usually stood to pray. But Paul says something very unusual in chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father. Okay, so what's he doing? He's kneeling before the Father. Yet in his day, everybody stood to pray. So there's a reverence. For this reason, what's the reason? He's going to tell us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. Now, this is another prayer. He tells us at the end, well, he says to do it. He's kind of praying it, but, standing in the armor is actually an action. This is what you do. But here he's actually praying. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established, the New King James is rooted and grounded. So being rooted and grounded, rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, are his saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Okay, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, the common theme I see in that prayer is power and love. What is he praying? He's praying that we be filled with the mighty power of God, and we know the love. The love is why we have the power. Okay, he wants us to be rooted, established in love. He wants us to be grounded, rooted and grounded, like a foundation of a building is rooted and grounded. He wants us to be rooted and grounded, that we be built up in that love, but don't just leave it with the love. We need the power, the mighty power of God. You got to have the love so you can have the power. You know why? So your stream will be pure. It won't be filled with selfish ambition. It won't be filled with wrong motives. It'll be filled with a pure stream of love for the King, wanting to advance his kingdom. Why? Because he's worthy. Why? Because he's worthy. Because he set me free, I know he can set you free. You know, I question when people can't think people can be set free. Because I think if they've ever been set free, because if you've been set free, you can believe somebody else can be set free. But hey, if you're bound, maybe you're struggling, somebody else can be free. Come on, I've been set free, so I believe God can set anybody free. Amen? He's got the power. He's got the power. He's got the power. Yeah, he does have the power, people of God, and it's rooted and established and grounded in love. Love for the world. Love for us. He's got love for us, people of God. It's lavish. He wants to lavish his love on us. Why? Because he's the reason he died. We're the reason he died. We are the reason Christ went to the cross. We're the reason. Okay, we are to become mighty by his power. We're to be filled with zeal, but we're to become mighty by his power. Mighty, mighty. I was thinking in Isaiah, but it might be, I haven't read this one, for just let me check and see if I'm remembering right here. Detour, but a good one, if I remember correctly. Here, I was thinking of this, Isaiah 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Okay, there's a spirit of might. God wants us to become full of his mighty power. He wants us to become full of wisdom. He wants the best for us. He wants to transform our minds. He wants to transform our actions so that his kingdom will be extended. Do you have to fight for it? I don't know why. Yeah, we got to fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes you got to fight to believe you're called. But you are called. You're called by God. And that can't be revoked. Nothing can change that. When you receive Jesus, you are called by him to know him. He doesn't call you and then hide himself from you. Sometimes he wants you to search him out, but he wants to be known. Sometimes we meet people, but we only give part of ourselves to people. We hold back some because we fear judgment or we fear that they'll betray us. But God didn't hold back himself from us. And so he wants us to completely open up to him. Hey, he already knows us, but somehow he wants us so that he knows we know him and he knows us. That's what confession's all about of your sins. He already knows them, but he still wants you to confess them so he can forgive you, so he can lavish his love and forgiveness on you. Okay, so power and love, power and love. And he wants us to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Have you got the fullness? I'm going for the fullness. It's like, I don't know, I'm trying to lose some weight, so if I go to the fast food restaurant, it's best for me not to get the fries with the burger. I got to leave the fries alone. But hey, with God, he wants the full meal deal for us to have all the time. Salvation, freedom, know the love, know the power, know the wisdom, know it all. He's not holding back a quarter of it because you're not good enough. No, he wants himself to be known more than we want to know him. He's drawing us, people of God. He's drawing us, steadfast people of the vineyard. He's drawing you, people of increase of the vineyards. He's drawing you, stability people of the vineyard, causing you to become so he can use you for a reason to expand his kingdom. And the great thing is you get to participate with him. You get to participate with him. You get to share in his power. You get to share in his anointing. You get to share in what he's doing. I'm not married or engaged. I just put this on the wrong finger because it was too sweaty on this one. Anyways, I just thought of that. All right, so I'm single and I love it. Anyways, he wants us to continue on. Why? To increase. Come on, he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to be changed from glory to glory. What? To be changed? Why? It's exciting for us to be changed. You know, it's exciting for us to be changed. When you've been set free, that's exciting. When you once struggled with something and then you don't struggle with, it's exciting. And the last prayer he prayed, and it's the first prayer he prayed, and I love this prayer. And this is the one where great men and women of God prayed for themselves. And when I first heard that, I actually first heard it years ago, that Kenneth Hagin prayed it. I like Kenneth Hagin. I liked his teaching. And I thought, he's a word man, so he prayed it. And then I've heard so many other people of God pray this prayer, I thought, well, they all had some sort of fruit that I want. I'm going to pray this prayer. You know, the great thing is, if it worked for them, it'll work for me. God's no respecter of persons. How hungry are you? We got to stir ourselves up for hunger. And if we're not hungry, then we got to ask God to make us hungry. We got to ask God to make it where we really cry out for him. Not through hardship, but because how great he is. Okay, Ephesians 1:17. Actually, I'll start at 15. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Oh, wow. Can you imagine if you had somebody like this praying for you? It says the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Hey, I know it's not them, but God loves it when we pray for each other. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, so that means he's not just praying once for this church, for these people. He's praying, he keeps asking, meaning he's doing it more than once. You know why he keeps asking? He's waiting to see it fully manifest. Don't stop praying in an area you want victory if you still don't see it. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. You got to know it. You got to know the hope. We're not people without a hope. We're people born of hope. We have a hope. We continue on in hope. You know, that's what discouragement is, as the devil trying to take away your hope. You're not full of discouragement. You're full of hope. I declare a hopeful people here. I declare a hopeful people in all over this island. We're a hopeful people. We have a hope. Outside of the kingdom of God, there's no hope, but we have a hope. To know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance and his holy people, or the saints, it says in another version, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Again, he's talking about that power. He's talking about that wisdom. Okay, now it says in verse 17, I keep asking that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom to me is knowing what to do God's way at the right time. Can I just break it down to Karen's way? No, Karen's interpretation, not Karen's way. Wisdom is knowing what to do at the right time, and you know what to do it, not only the right time, but God's way. God's way and the right time is wisdom. You know what to do, and you know how to do it. And you do it in the right time. You know, how many of us try to figure out what to do sometimes? I'm tired of trying to figure out what to do. God, unless you tell me, I don't know. So I just told him one day, I don't know. Whew. It was such a relief off my back. I really didn't know. And then you got people questioning, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. Can I just tell you plainly, I don't know. Because I haven't heard. But I'm seeking God's wisdom, and I will know what to do at the right time, in the right way, with the right motive, because that's God's wisdom. Revelation is, what is revelation? Not only will we have the spirit of wisdom, but we'll have I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I was recently watching the fireworks down in the Nanaimo, and the fireworks, they, whoo! They're just there. You just see them. And I just had a thought in my mind, that's what revelation's like. You just, whoo, it's just there. It's just there. You cannot even turn away from it because it grabs your attention. And you don't do anything for it. You just receive it. So wisdom is knowing what to do. Revelation is just knowing. It's like, you know, when I was in Oklahoma years ago, they got, you know when you're nowhere. It's like that's what they said. You know when you're nowhere. Okay, well, you know. You just know. Revelation is like that. It's like that fireworks going out. Whew! I just know. God wants to give us that. He doesn't want us walking around in the fog. But, you know, if you continually look to things outside of God, you will become in a fog because you're not putting him first. So God wants to make things clear to us when we go to him. He wants us to go to him. And go to him first. Now, these are things Paul said in this little book of Ephesians. But three things that if I think we take seriously, I think they can change our walk. I think we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that great power. We can be rooted and grounded and established in love. We can have that mighty power. We can stand, and when we've done everything, we can stand firm again. I believe he wants us to be steadfast. I believe, or he wouldn't have said it. Hey, he doesn't say something and then laugh at you because you can't do it. He doesn't sit back and like not be there when you fall. He's always there to pick you back up again. But hey, he wants us to go further than being picked up. He wants us to advance who he is. And when he says something, he has the power and he has the authority to accomplish it. That's where the faith comes in, doesn't it? He says something to you, and you're like, whew, I don't even really, oh, wow. And sometimes you don't really want to tell anybody either. Because they're not going to be able to believe for you if they're trying to struggle to believe for themselves. I know God has set me free from many things, so I believe God can set everybody free. I believe he's changed the way I think, so I believe he can change the way anybody thinks. Why? Because I've experienced and tasted that the Lord is good. And I believe, people of God, you are the same. We're great. We're growing up. We're maturing. And to be more mature, we're more full of joy. Because I tell you, a free person is a lot more joyful than a bound person. Hey? And we're a lot more thankful. I'm thankful I'm saved. Hey, if nothing else, be thankful you're saved. Be thankful. Hey? Amen.